Welcome to the Black Lands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Wednesday, September 25th, 2013. Joining us in a couple of minutes at our table, we compare notes on the economy with A&M Commerce Professor Dr. Dale Funderburk. Birthdays today, Southern novelist William Faulkner was born on this day in 1897. TV journalist and host Barbara Walters, 82 today. For all her acclaim, she's remembered for asking guests what kind of tree they'd be. But that came from an offhand comment in an interview with the great Katharine Hepburn.
I've become a sort of, you know, thing.
What?
I don't know what, you know, sort you of tree.
What kind of a tree are you? Do you think you're a tree now?
I hope I'm not an elm with Dutch elm disease. I don't know, because then I'm withering. Oh, I'd like, everybody would like to be an oak tree.
On this day in 1867, legendary cattleman Oliver Loving died of gangrene at Fort Sumner, New Mexico. In 1866, Loving gathered a herd, combined it with that of Charles Goodnight, and began a long cattle drive to New Mexico. Their route later became known as the Goodnight-Loving Trail. Now, in the spring of 1867, Loving received a fatal wound in an Indian attack. Before Loving died, Goodnight assured him that his wish to be buried in Texas would be carried out. Goodnight had Loving's body exhumed and carried home to Weatherford. Now, if this story sounds familiar, it may be because you recall this dramatic scene from Lonesome Dove.
I have a favor to ask you, and I'll do you a favor in return.
What favor?
I want you to bury me down yonder, Clara's Orchard. You remember that little grove of pecans by the creek we stopped at back in Texas?
Texas?
Yes, Texas. That's your favor to me, and that's my favor to you, too. I'm giving you a reason to go off on another adventure so you don't get bored being a rancher, which you ain't going anyway.
On September 25th, 1957, Little Rock Central High School is integrated, requiring National Guard troops to enforce the Supreme Court's ruling ordering desegregation. President Eisenhower spoke to the American people on television and radio.
We present a special address by the President of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
For a few minutes this evening, I should like to speak to you about the serious situation that has arisen in Little Rock. I have today issued an executive order directing the use of troops under federal authority to aid in the execution of federal law at Little Rock, Arkansas.
In 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor became the first female justice of the Supreme Court. On this date in 1958, the continental sounds of Domenico Modugno were number one in the country. Volare.
Volare. Oh. Cantare. Oh. Nel blu degli occhi tuoi blu. Felice di stare qua giù.
On the KETR events calendar, of course, the coming weekend brings the annual Bodark Bash to downtown Commerce, featuring a barbecue Friday night, the 5K run at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, a parade at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and live music and performances on the square. The Bodark Bash this weekend in Commerce. Well, our guest in the cafe this morning is Dr. Dale Funderburk. He is professor of economics and interim dean of the College of Business and Entrepreneurship at Texas A&M Commerce. And we're going to have him on from time to time to talk about economics and finance. Dale, of course, anytime you turn the news on the last few weeks, we've heard about the debt ceiling, and it seems like this comes up every year or so. Why don't we get this thing fixed so we don't have to have these dramatic situations every few months?
In the simplest terms, we've maxed out our card. And rather than controlling our spending, we say, well, we need to get a new credit limit. Mm. And so that's, as you say, a debate that comes up every couple of years.
Getting away from politics and leaving the politics aside, Democrat versus Republican, why has it become such a difficult thing to deal with? And I don't recall 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that we seemed to reach this precipice every 6 months or every year or so, but we seem to now. So,
Yeah, actually, I hear from time to time that this is unprecedented, the threat to shut down government. It's really not. In the time that I've been watching it, and of course, that is a long period of time. From time to time, we'll play this political brinksmanship of getting right to it. I've known a few times when they actually sent home a few federal workers early there. But it does come down to the thing of you have to cut spending to get it under control, and that's difficult.
Most people would, I think, understand that. We all have credit.
Right.
We all have credit cards. But, of course, the government, the other thing that has been happening lately is we've had the discussion about continuing what they call the QE. The government has the unique ability to make more money available to itself, and I guess that's perhaps one reason why we continue to have this situation.
And that is what makes it different from the analogy that I did earlier on the credit card. You or I start printing money, and they put us in the clink. The federal government can do it and do it legally. And so this saying of the QE or the quantitative easing, that's a fancy term for rolling the printing presses.
What about the economics of this? Again, leaving the politics aside, if by some chance we came up to the deadline and there was no raising of the debt ceiling and we had the shutdown of the government as is being talked about, what would be the economic effect that we would likely see?
If it went on for very long at all, it would have a devastating effect there because it is a thing that we have to have the spending there. We're running a deficit at a rate of not quite a trillion a year now, but that's a large amount. And if you just all of a sudden cut off all that spending, it would have a very unsettling effect. It would hit the markets. It would hit employment. So I try not to predict politics there, but if there is a shutdown, it's going to be brief. You can know that.
Of course, from the standpoint of the markets, what Wall Street would want is don't rock the boat. You don't want the dramatic things to happen, shutting down the government. You want things to be predictable and safe and keep on going the way you're going, right? So that we know what they would want.
Shock and uncertainty are two things that the markets do not like.
At some point, though, this whole thing with the Fed, the quantitative easing, the buying of the bonds, this has to stop, doesn't it? It has to at some point.
It does. As I say, it's tantamount to running the printing presses, to creating money. And it is a case that, with your eye, if we run up a large credit card debt there, then our creditors are going to get worried. They're going to start raising our rates and all. And so to keep the rates from going up, that's where the Federal Reserve and their quantitative easing comes in.
But they're afraid to say even the slightest hint that we're going to stop this at some point in the next 6 months, we see a disastrous effect the next day on the stock market.
Oh, we're hooked on that. It's a narcotic almost. And the Federal Reserve keeps doing that, I'm sure. With people like Bernanke, he knows that when you're creating that much money, you're putting a real inflation overhang out there.
We're going to have Dale back from time to time to talk about wherever we are and whatever's happening in the economy at a given moment. We're about out of time for this, but we'll do it again real soon. Dale Funderburk, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KEDR.